gaze upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Good morning. My name is Brian McLaughlin. I will be your worship leader for this morning. We welcome those who are worshiping us with us for the first time. We ask that when the service is over, if you see one of our ushers, that we have a good welcoming gift for you back here at the back of the sanctuary. We have Bruce Levy with an announcement right now.
I know already you know what I'm going to say. So I hope you can smell the vegetable soup. I know we're a week early. This is Pro Bowl Sunday instead of Super Bowl Sunday, but we're celebrating Super Bowl a week early. The luncheon is sponsored by the YF. It'll be at 11:40 today, and we will be done about 12:45. The YF wants to thank you for your generous support. We will have youth around at the exits as you go out the church, collecting for our Super, S-O-U-P-E-R, Super Bowl Sunday. And the proceeds from our collection this morning and from the proceeds at the luncheon, there's no cost to the luncheon. If whenever you want to put money in, that's fine. The proceeds go to King's Kettle and Christ Among Neighbors. So whether you are an Eagles fan, or a Patriots fan, I don't know any of those, but anyway, or none of the above, because I know a lot of you are Steelers fans, and there are a couple Ravens fans, and so on, but what's that? Oh, Redskins, excuse me, I'm hearing Redskins in my ear, but anyway, we will have about a 20-minute YouTube video on the athletes and their faith today. And we thank you all coming for our luncheon and supporting the YF and these causes. Thank you.
Well, if that doesn't wake you up. Our prelude this morning was by Michaela Cameron and Bev Morton. Right now, would you please rise and join me in the call to worship? God is here to meet us. We gather to pray God, to pray God's name. The Lord God welcomes us to this place of meeting. We are here to celebrate God's presence. We are here to honor God's steadfast love for us. Our Creator seeks to establish community among us. God calls us to be a reconciling people. Where two or three are gathered in the name of the Lord, God is present to strengthen and uphold.
I danced in the morning when the world was begun, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun, and I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. At Bethlehem I had my birth. Dance, dance, wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be. I danced for the scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance and they would not follow me. I danced for the fishermen, for James and John. They came to me and the dance went on. Dance, dance, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on the Sabbath and I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped and they hung me high and they left me there on a cross to die. Dance, dance, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be. I danced on a Friday and the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I'd gone. But I am the dance and I still go on. Dance, dance, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. They cut me down and I leapt up high. I am the life that'll never, never die. I'll live in you if you live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Dance, dance, wherever you may be. I am
Let us pray. Oh God, we trust in your power to create, to sustain, to enable, but we could not trust if we did not know that you are always near. Be with us, Lord, as we are gathered here to worship you. Help us not to check our minds or our hearts at the door, but enable us to bring all that we are to you, so that we might experience your touch upon all aspects of our life. We pray this because of and in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us now turn to one another as we share the peace of Christ. We ask now that the children come forward for the Lamb's Talk.
Good morning, everybody. How are you today? Good. It's a little tired, yeah. It's a little wet and drippy out there. Well, on kind of a gloomy morning out there, I wanted to talk about something kind of cheery in here. I wanted to talk about hope. When I was little, I hoped for a lot of things. I hoped I'd have a good teacher in school. I hoped I'd have some good friends. I hoped for a good summer vacation with lots of sunny days to play outside. I hoped for some snow days during the school year so I could get out and play. I hoped I'd get good birthday presents and good Christmas presents. But some things I didn't have to hope for because they were already there. Things like I knew I'd always have a nice warm bed to be in at night. I knew that there'd always be a home for me, you know, that there was someplace to go to. I didn't have to hope for the love of my parents because I knew they loved me. And one of the big things I never had to hope for was, would I have something to eat? I always knew that I'd get a breakfast and a lunch and a dinner. Maybe they weren't always the foods I liked, but I knew I was always going to get fed. So I wanted to talk a little bit today about people who don't always have that kind of hope. There are people who don't know if they're going to have a meal. They don't know if there's going to be food from one meal to the next. And that tends to keep you from hoping for a lot of other things if you don't know you're going to have anything to eat. And there's a story in the Bible about feeding people. You know that story? Okay. So what do you remember about that story in the Bible? Yes.
Jesus had fish, and someone brought fish and bread, and then he made more fish and bread.
Okay, that's right. He'd been out preaching, and lots of people sat down to listen to him, and then it got really late, and they were hungry. And they didn't have any food there, and they couldn't run to a McDonald's or anything like that. They couldn't even run into town because there were so many people, there wouldn't be food enough to feed everybody all at once. And Jesus told his disciples, well, you feed them. And they said, us? He said, yeah, what have you got? And they had 2 fish and 5 loaves, right? And they thought, well, that's not enough. So I brought a little visual aid today. So what have I got here?
Chicken and a sage, chicken and water.
Right, I got, and how many cans of that do I have?
Two.
Those are my 2 fish, okay? And then, and what do I have here? What are those?
Crackers.
Crackers, I have 5 crackers. That's as close as I could get for 5 loaves of bread in a hurry. Now, if we open these 2 cans of tuna and these 5 crackers, could we feed everybody who's here this morning? Not enough food, is it? No. But you know what Jesus does? He takes what we give and he blesses it, and somehow when he blesses it, it tends to be what's needed to feed everybody. And that's one of those things we're going to do today with the, can you think of it? The Super Bowl of Caring. Our offerings to help a food pantry here, King's Kettle, take our small offerings, which aren't enough to feed very many, and turn it into something to feed lots and lots of people. And that's the sort of thing that gives people hope, when they know that their basic needs are taken care of. And when that's taken care of, then they can do things like turn their eyes to Jesus, right? And that's the kind of hope that lasts much longer than just a meal. So, this week, think of ways, little ways, that you can combine the blessings that you have to give other people hope, because that's really what it's all about. Let's have a little prayer. Gracious God, we are so glad that you have blessed us in many ways, but primarily because you've blessed us with the hope of our life with you, which is secure. Help us to share our resources and our blessings with others so that they may come to know you and have hope in you as well. Amen. Thanks, everybody.
As we come this morning, we want to remember special needs in our congregation, and there is a list in your worship folder if you want to look at that, and I hope you'll take it with you and use it during the week. Let us pray. Father, as we come into your presence this morning, we are grateful. Grateful that we can come with the confidence, the assurance that you are here as you've promised, that when we gather in your name, you're present. Lord, we may not always recognize that or acknowledge it, but we do today acknowledge your presence and offer you our gratitude and thanksgiving. We come, Lord, as people who need to know what it means to worship you, need to understand what you are asking from us and what you're looking for from us in our worship. And we want you to teach us, to show us how to do that in a way that truly pleases and honors you. Lord, we know also that we are needy people. We come needing your help, your strength, your renewal, your spirit to touch our spirits. And we ask today as we gather here that every person here in your presence, before we leave here today, will know that in some way you have touched our lives. We pray, oh God, that you would open our minds and our hearts to hear and to understand, and most of all to be faithful to respond to you and to what you say to us and what you do in us this morning. Lord, we know that you've called us to be your people in the world, that you've given us the opportunity to be a part of what you're doing, and what a great blessing that is, and help us today to remember as we worship here this morning that our lives are to be lived tomorrow and the rest of the days of the week and the month and the years ahead in a way that shows others your love and lifts up your great love in a way that they can hear it and receive it. We pray, oh God, this morning especially for needs and concerns that are represented in our congregation. We know even as we gather here this morning that all of us probably have things that we are concerned about, people that we love and that we care about, and we pray for them today that your spirit would reach out and touch them according to their need. We especially lift up to you this morning Deb Fabrizio. We know, oh God, that it's a tough time for Deb and for Mike, and we just ask that somehow you would draw close to them and that you would touch them and their lives, that you would bring healing and renewal. We pray for Linda Dickinson. We ask that you would continue to bless her as she heals from her surgery. We pray for Richard Arndt, for Peggy Bigler, and for Louise Holtree. Lord, you know each one of them and what their situation is, and we pray that you would touch them and let them know most of all your love and your strength. Father, as we continue before you this morning, we pray for anyone here in this place that especially is carrying a load of some kind this morning for their own physical needs or some other need in their life, that they will hear your word to them saying that your grace is sufficient and that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. And Lord, in all of this, we will give you the honor and the praise and the glory. For we ask it in the name of him who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We have been blessed in many, many ways. Let us show our thanks by the giving of our tithes and our offerings. May the ushers come forward. Father, we thank you for your gifts and blessings to us. We just ask that you would receive these gifts today. Use them in a way that brings honor to you, that touches lives, most of all, it helps others to know of your love for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. When the host of hell assail and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. When I've done the best I can, and my friends misunderstand, thou who knowest all about me, stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me. When my foes in war array undertake to stop my way, thou who savest Paul and Silas, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden and I'm nearing chilly Jordan, O thou lily of the valley, stand by me.
Let us remain standing for the reading of the scripture. Today is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. We who are strong ought to hear the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures, the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. May the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the reading of God's word. You may be seated.
Let's pray. Father, we ask as we think about, as we talk, as we look into your word this morning, that you would help us to hear what we need to hear and help us to do what we need to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing.
Shakespeare wrote those words over 400 years ago, but they in a great way express a lot of the spirit, the time and the days we're living in. J.R.R. Tolkien, in his book Return of the King, says the whole thing is quite hopeless. So it's no good worrying about tomorrow. It probably won't come. Robin Schneider, in a book called The Beginning of Everything, says life is the tragedy. You know how they categorize Shakespeare's plays. If it ends with a wedding, it's a comedy. If it ends with a funeral, it's a tragedy. So we're all living tragedies because we all end the same way. And it isn't with a blankety-blank wedding. I read the words that a woman wrote to a help website. Strange how we think we can get help that we need on the internet for everything. But she said, constantly on the news there are reports about the dire state of the economy. I myself have decided to cut out watching and reading articles that are geared towards selling fearful messages of society. There is no future here. And then this fear gets extended beyond my situation to the feelings of hopelessness to others. There are no jobs for others. There is no justice for others. The politicians do not care about others, and so on and so forth. Mel Swartz, a clinical social worker, says, our society is in the throes of a virtual epidemic of depression. The numbers are quite staggering. More than 20% of the American population will experience at least one episode of what we refer to as clinical depression. It's no accident, nor is it incidental to the complete understanding of the Christian message that the urgent request that Paul makes for the Christians at Rome is that the grace of God lead to overflowing hope. This emphasis on hope, obviously, is particularly timely considering the fact that many see the central characteristic of our age and of our time as being the absence of hope. Robert Heilbrunner, social critic, says we are suffering from civilization malaise, or dread of the future. He thinks there's a good reason for it. He said we must resign ourselves to the bearing of an intolerable burden. Human beings are like helpless chips driven hither and thither. And then he asks the question, is there hope? And he concludes, there is not. The one common denominator to many of the responses to modern life is the absence of hope. From the materialistic middle-aged father to his bored son, it's living for now because there's no hope for the future. But for Paul, there's more to it than that. When he comes to write to these Christians at Rome, he prays for hope. He prays for overflowing hope. And he does that because it reminds us that biblical hope is more than wishful thinking. It's not secular optimism. Hope is a common word, and we probably hear it used almost in some way almost every day. Hopefully, I'll be home for supper. Will you have a long, healthy life? I hope so. Often, it means little more than a wish for or a desire for something. A college drama group was putting on a play in which one of the characters was supposed to stand on a trap door and announce, I descend into hell. And as he did that, a stagehand would pull a rope and the trap door would open and he'd fall through that hole out of sight. The actor who was playing this part became sick and they had to replace it with another actor who was, let's just put it this way, a little more hefty than the original actor. So he said, I descend into hell. The stagehand pulled the rope. He started to fall down through the hole and he got stuck. So they pulled and they tugged and they pushed and no way, nothing they could do. could get him through that hole. About that time, a student in the balcony jumped up and yelled, "Hallelujah, hell is full." Wishful thinking is what a lot of our hope is about. Ask a student, one of your children, or someone else, if they did well on a test, and he might respond, "I hope so." Lucy, in the Peanuts cartoons, as she often is leaning over the piano as Schroeder is playing, and she says, Schroeder says, "I wouldn't marry you unless you were the last girl on earth." And Lucy said, "Did you say if or unless?" And he admits that he said unless, and Lucy shouts, "Hope." Wishful thinking. And that's often what it really means. When we sometimes think about the most unlikely outcomes, we say, "I am hopeful." But that is not what the Bible means. That's not what Paul is talking about when he talks about or prays that these Christians will have overflowing hope. The hope of the gospel is only possible by the grace of God. God is its source. Trust in God leads to joy and peace and confidence. And through that hope, the hope projected in the Bible does not mean I wish for or I hope it might be so, but it expresses the sense of expectancy, anticipation, a certainty. And it has the idea of get ready for it. It is not something that we think might happen or that we think might be true, but it's something we are assured of and that we are certain it is true. The idea of in the scripture of the word hope is more like sitting in the dark of night and waiting for the sunrise, which we know is coming. It should be clear that in some sense, hope is a necessity for living as God's people in the world. Otherwise, God would not have taken such pains to create hope with promises. In the New Testament alone, over 100 times, we hear the word hope and its outcome, which I'll talk about in just a minute. Over 100 times, in some way, this is expressed. Hope is one of the big three. Now abides faith, hope, and love. We hear a lot of talk about faith. We certainly hear a lot of talk about love. But I wonder how many times we really stop and think about what the scripture means when it says this is one of the most important characteristics, what it means to be a Christian. It is to be hopeful. This is not the first time Paul has mentioned it. In fact, it's the undercurrent of the whole book of Romans, chapter 5 and chapter 8, especially. In chapter 8, he says, "You have been saved, though only in hope." Hope is not just wishful thinking. Hope is intrinsic to the gospel. It's at the heart of what the gospel is all about. The gospel is future-oriented. It's looking ahead to what is coming and what to expect. It's true, there's a lot of reality in the present tense of what the gospel is about. But ultimately, always, wherever we are as Christians, the gospel reminds us to keep looking ahead. The social critics are right. There is no hope in the structures of this world, but only in the promise of God. There is, God promises an end to the old ways of things, in the beginning of the new. Much of the gospel is promise of what is yet to be. And if we only think, as Paul says, in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most miserable. If we have no hope beyond this life, we are of all people most miserable. Though we cannot deny what God has done and what God is doing, We have to keep our perspective in our lives and the lives of those around us. When we do this, we will not be surprised at the shortcomings of each other or of ourselves or of the church. Did you know everybody has shortcomings? Did you know you have some shortcomings? Did you know the church, believe it or not, has some shortcomings? We should not be surprised at that, and those things certainly should not throw us for a loop when they come. We should not be surprised at trials and tests. The scripture promises those things, but it assures us that's not the end of the story, or the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Hope is at the heart of the gospel. But perhaps more than anything, in a practical sense for us as Christians, hope is about endurance. 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says, "We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Many of our problems as Christians come from a lack of endurance. Many of the things we struggle with as Christians run up against that problem of starting but not being able to finish. We give up on a person or a relationship because it simply doesn't seem to be going where we think it should be going. And we just don't have the endurance to keep going. We give up on a ministry or a church or sometimes even ourselves because we don't really have any hope of what the outcome is going to be. The Christian life is more like a marathon than it is a sprint. You know, a sprint, you go as hard as you can in these short distances, but that's not the way you run a marathon. Christian living is for the long haul. One of the characteristics and important things that we need as Christians is the ability to hold out, to not give up, the refusal to quit, the idea of patience and endurance, perseverance, a persistence, a holy stubbornness, a divine obstinacy. Hold on. Keep going. Don't give up. Any of you ever, and certainly for you younger people, this may not be all that big a deal for you, but when you live a few years and you get down the road, a big part of it is simply, how do I keep going? Why do I keep going? For the Christians, we need to remember there are various examples in the Bible and through history of those who started and failed to finish. The Jews who left Egypt. Judas, for example, in the New Testament. Demas. All of these started well, but they did not finish. Timothy warns it will be a fact of our time that some will abandon the faith. If they abandoned it, it means they had it. They started, but they didn't finish. They gave up. They were overcome for whatever reason. Psalm 74, verse 9 says, "We're given no miraculous signs, no prophets are left, and none of us knows how long this will be." But for Christians, it's about anticipating the day when faith becomes sight. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, consider him so that you may not become discouraged and give up. You know, I honestly never realized how much hope was at the center of the gospel, never had actually thought about it all that much until I started looking at these texts through the scripture. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Page after page, story after story through the scriptures, the emphasis is on keep going. Don't give up. Don't get weary in well-doing. And the thing that enables us to do that is this biblical idea of hope. Not wishful thinking. Not thinking that I desire it to happen. But anticipation and expectancy that God will do what he has promised and what he said he will do. All of us in this past week have watched the tragedy unfold in Kentucky, that school shooting. A pastor whose church was very close to that church, very close to that school, said, "The one thing that cannot be robbed from us is hope. There are times that the picture around us is so bleak that we often lose sight of something better or any amount of normalcy ever returning again. Hope gives us the courage to rise from the ashes and a certainty that God has heard our cry and somehow he will heal us." After recounting the wonderful privilege and blessings of the grace of God and its responsibilities in this book of Romans, Paul reminds his leaders, don't forget, the best is yet to come. Hope, trust, believe. Now we see only a puzzling reflection in a mirror. But then we shall see face to face. My knowledge is not partial, then it will be whole, like God's knowledge of me. Here and now, dear friends, we are God's children. What we shall be has not yet been disclosed, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope before him purifies himself as Christ is pure. I like the story about a little boy and his father. We're planning a fishing trip for the next day. That evening, as the father was putting his son to bed, the boy hugged his father's neck and said, "Daddy, I thank you for tomorrow." That is a Christian attitude toward the gospel and toward life. God, I thank you for tomorrow. Paul's prayer that you might overflow with hope. Let us pray. Father, we know as we look around, look around us at the things that are happening in this world, in our lives, the lives of those we love, we know that it is sometimes awfully hard to keep our perspective. We know that it is very easy to become discouraged. We know that one of the greatest threats to us as Christians is discouragement and the ability to simply keep going.
But we know that you are the God of hope, and that as we look to you and trust you, you can fill us with this hope, not only for us, but so that it overflows from us to touch the lives of those around us. May it be so for us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us stand.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion or fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forever. Amen.